Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. It is Thursday, the 6th of November, and we all just got in the room together, but it's I think the mood of the room is a little giddy.
We're all fired up. Alan and I were just taping the media project.
How was it? Was it fun?
We were at each other's throats.
Oh, good. So that was the first round.
Yeah.
All right. So we get to continue that this morning. We Ray and I get to enjoy the fruits of your labor of the last half hour.
That's great. Enjoy the angst.
We're very happy. Good morning and welcome to our panel. Let me first give you the email address. It's WAMC. It's roundtable at WAMC.org. If you want to post your letters to make sure that everybody in the world can see them, go to WAMC.org. And also, let me introduce our panel to you and tell you that these wonderful people have come forward to talk to us about these issues of the day. And again, we welcome your input as well. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe, and all the rest of yous.
University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo has reported for duty. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we can't live without him. WAMC newsman Ray Graff is here.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Ooh.
I love the way you were giving the weather forecast.
Kind of a story, folksy sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. Showers.
Showers are possible.
Yeah, it's very
sit down, you little brats. Let me tell you a story.
That's very nice.
That's how Uncle Don ended
that's
up.
That's right.
You know,
yeah,
that old Uncle
right.
Don.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, Uncle Don. Let's go to what is happening in our world and what is happening around. Of course, we're still talking about what happened Tuesday, which was Election Day. And yesterday around 2 o'clock, both in the 2 o'clock hour, both Mitch McConnell and President Obama separately, one in Louisville, one in Washington, took to a podium and talked about the future, talked about their thoughts on the election and the results. And the president, let's start with him, the president vowed to work with as well as without Congress, said he would continue to do the work of the people. And yet, he wanted a bipartisan approach. But when that approach was not possible, he was going to do what he felt was best for the right of the people.
And, you know, without being defensive, because I thought I listened to the whole thing. I thought it was great. But he did manage to talk about everything he had accomplished and his administration had accomplished during that time. And it was an impressive list. You know, it's too bad that the Democrats allowed the Republicans to grab the narrative. But if I may, Joe, I have to say the Oscar goes to, to the majority leader, to McConnell, because he has been playing the opposition leader and, you know, my only job is to get rid of Obama. It's all negative. Well, you watched him yesterday, and he was like Foxy Grandpa. Couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been more appealing. We want to work together. I'm a nice guy. It just goes to show you how two-faced politicians can be.
Ooh, two-faced. Come on, Alan.
Well, you think the politicians aren't two-faced?
I have been looking
into Mitch
McConnell, and he should not be underestimated. He is a supremely great politician.
That's correct.
This is the dream job that he has, and you don't do a good job in your dream job by opposing the president. You work together with him. He has an opportunity to become a great legislator, and I think that truly is his goal, and he ought to be given the benefit of the doubt.
Can I just interrupt for a second? Because one of the many things that I heard yesterday on all of the talking head programs, one of the points that I thought was an interesting one was exactly what you said is as far as this is his dream job. This is what he always wanted to do, and you can read it that he pretty much did whatever he had to do to get it.
Yep.
Now that he's got it,
right,
it's going to be interesting to see how he
LBJ.
How he does.
It's LBJ all
and,
over
and
again.
Then once he has it, then he may actually be pretty
great.
Good at it.
And after seeing Obama fumbling and missing opportunities, not using Joe Biden, not doing a lot of things to work that Congress, to have somebody in there who knows what it can really do, I think it has some prospects.
Well.
Also, McConnell His first wife is a a feminist scholar. She's no loser. His second wife is a former Secretary of Labor, a Chinese American woman, very bright. You have to look at people's spouses. You don't attract great spouses if you are yourself a lout, which is how we liberals have tended to paint.
Which is why we think so highly of you, Alan. You did pretty well on that front, actually. So all evidence to the contrary, you're
you
okay.
You can't be a lout.
Yeah. Well, you make a point. On the other hand, there is a huge difference between Lyndon Johnson and passing Medicare, Medicaid, and the Voting Rights Act, and Civil Rights Act.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell. I mean, give me a break, will you please? The idea that he's a good politician can't be doubted. You're right, but towards what end?
Well, it's true. We do not know the Republican program. But he is in a position to do things that are as equally important as what LBJ did. Immigration reform, infrastructure repair, reform of the tax code. He is in a position to influence all of those very important pieces of legislation.
Yes. Well, the proof, as you often say, will be in the pudding.
Yeah.
We have to really see if there is a tax reform. Let's just see who comes out with the goodies on tax reform.
Well, look, these two guys do not have a very long storied history of chatting with each other. They asked the president, how many times have you chatted with McConnell? And one or twice. And I think McConnell said the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
And of course, there was the much mentioned offer from President Obama to drink some Kentucky bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
It's in their both of their best interests,
right,
to chat and get something done at this point. And so I think they'll make a
legitimate
attempt.
They have a common enemy also in the Tea Party. Both of them have real problems from these ultra-conservatives who are trying to hijack the legislative process.
Yes, but if that's true, Rosemary, if that's true, then what do you – McConnell and the president are hardly in a position to be staunch allies for passing things like immigration reform, because he's got to protect his people who have all of this right stuff. And they did a brilliant job in selecting candidates
time. McConnell had played a part in that. Well, Alan, take a look at, we almost saw it with Boehner and the president trying to come to some agreement on the financial.
Best line that the president used yesterday, as a matter of fact, Rosemary, was, maybe I should go and let Boehner win at golf again.
Yeah, that was a good line. That was a good line. But, I mean, it's messy. It isn't what I certainly wanted, what many of the WAMC listeners wanted. But this is how American politics works. We compromise. We get a little bit of what we want. We give up a lot that we wanted. And now's a chance and a demand from the American voters to go out and do that.
And again, I mean, this is unfair to hindsight and all of that. But Alan, you made the point about the president being so good about giving that list and of his accomplishments and being very, very good at what this administration has done. My immediate response when I was actively listening to it was, I wish he had given the speech over and over again during the election.
Me too.
I wish he had gone to all of these states and said, okay, this is what we've done. This is what we've accomplished.
But they were telling him not to, Joe. That's the problem.
No, I know. And I think that's. I was just because you do have that record and we it seems like everyone and the polls exit polls certainly agree with this that we bought the narrative. We bought the narrative that it's a failed presidency.
And they sold the narrative and they sold it well.
Yeah.
And they went all around and did it again and again. And the Democrats, being the circular firing squad that they've always been, let them get away with it.
True.
We are, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll continue with this. We have some letters as well. We welcome your thoughts, roundtable@wamc.org, wamc.org. If you want to post it on our webpage, we would love to have it posted there, wamc.org. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Oblong Books, presenting Road Trip Experience and Book Signing Event with author Jeff Kinney for his book, Wimpy Kid Book, The Long Haul, Wednesday, November 12th, 6:30 p.m. in Rhinebeck. Tickets required, oblongbooks.com. Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, Saratoga Springs, New York, helping to bring nature closer with Eagle Optics, Vortex, Swarovski, and Zeiss binoculars and spotting scopes. 518-226-0071. And Gristmill Real Estate Saugerties, welcoming First Friday Saugerties visitors to an open house presenting paintings from local artists, November 7th from 6 to 8 p.m., gristmillrealestate.com.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Rosemary Armeo. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org or WAMC.org/roundtable to post your comments there. Let us go back. Do you have any letters, Alan, you want to share with us?
Yes, we do have some letters.
Excellent.
And here's from Philip. Kudos. I'm very impressed by the reasonable, insightful conversation you're having about the election results. This is vastly different from the conversations that occurred on conservative talk radio following the election and re-election of Barack Obama. Kudos to your entire group. And that's from Phyllis. Philip.
Thank you.
So sorry.
That was
and,
nice.
And Ryan says, compromise. I'm up to my ears in student loans. Food stamps have been cut. The wealth gap continues to grow. We are being spied on. The ACA favors big business. I'm sorry. I thought for us at the bottom, we've already compromised. I'm tired of going hungry. Give me a break. And Michael says, this is a nonpartisan show, correct? Sure doesn't sound like it. I don't know. I think we've been all over the lot.
I've been defending Mitch McConnell. Partisan and nonpartisan than that.
A very good point, Rosemary.
People do what they want to do. Okay. And they hear what they want to hear. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. In other words, to find out, you need to experience it yourself. That's from Tony. Rich says, gerrymandering is more of a threat to our nation than ever before. We are more on oligarchy and an oligarchy than ever before.
True.
Gore Vidal has told us about the dangers from the right and extreme right, and they have come to pass. Our new supposed government leaders in Washington will be stopped. This is a new civil war in the USA. And Irene says, I urge WAMC
dangerous.
To... Dangerous, you think?
A little bit dangerous.
Well, yeah, I think a civil war is going a little bit.
Yeah, kind of maybe an inflamed metaphor
civil.
There. Yeah.
I mean, if that's the case, I think we've been having a civil war in this country for over 200 years.
Yeah, culture war. Well, yes.
Irene says, I urge WAMC to follow Spotlight on Poverty and Opportunity, end quote. The website is very informative on poverty in America. How Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul can sleep at night is beyond me. Kentucky is in dire straits and is so gerrymandered. The middle class is thwarted. The Democrats need the like of James Carville more than ever before. The fact that newspapers have cut back is no coincidence. NPR has to step up to get listeners nationwide. Well, I have a number of things I take issue within this particular letter. But James Carville always reminds me of The Mask. What was that name of the guy?
Jim
Carrey in The Mask.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like. The Mask.
But he was a strong voice for what Democrats did well. And he was unabashed about sending that message out.
Yeah, but you know, he had this thing with the Republican wife, and it was a road and pony show. They would go back and forth.
Well, they still have that.
I think it's sort of.
They fell in love. What up with that?
Well, opposites attract.
How could you?
What do you mean? How could you?
She should fall in love with the
Republican. She seems like a very nice woman, and he seems like a very nice man. They're just
Have to agree on
She's
everything.
She's hot, and he looks like The Mask. I mean, he had to go for her.
What is this, the Stepford Wives? They have to agree all the time.
I disagree with all of you.
You're bent.
Okay. And Christopher says, good morning. Under Obama and the Democrats, the subprime rates were never prosecuted. Domestic energy production has ravaged the country. Orwellian surveillance has expanded exponentially, and state and local law enforcement has been militarized. Our Mideast drones are targeting civilians, and the Endangered Species Act has been shredded, and the Democratic losses are supposed to be a progressive crisis. The oligarchy masquerading as two parties can now avoid any pretense of differences and get to the holy grail, gutting Social Security and Medicare.
Wow, that's a great letter. Who wrote that?
You think that's great?
I think he's right on.
Signed, Gus Hall. No, who wrote that?
Gus Hall's got to be dead by now,
right? You never know.
For those children in the audience, he was the leader of the Communist Party in America.
He's true. Obama's been a disappointment. He's no liberal champion.
Gus Hall has passed away.
Yes.
But
he's still going to
2000.
Run.
He always ran. And I guess that's what I got.
Right. Okay, great. We just have about...
I got more.
Okay, good. No, maybe you can fill the minute and a half. Go ahead.
Julia says, under Obama and the Democrats, the sub... Oh, no, we did. No, that's wrong. Oh, Julia says, McConnell is quoted as saying that Obama passing an executive order on immigration before the end of the year is equivalent to waving a red flag in front of a bull. Obama, however, pretty clearly stated that he would act if Congress did not send him an acceptable immigration bill before the end of the year. Sign of things to come? Yes. And then McConnell's quote of the day, good morning, roundtable. Did I hear this quote correctly yesterday? McConnell said the message from the voters is they want us to work together. How will he reconcile that with stand on principle, with the stand on principle crowd? Thanks for the fair discussion today.
Yeah.
I think you can do both, can't you?
McConnell's in a new job. He can do anything he wants now. He can remake it and do something.
I think that the criticism from the right, do we have time?
Yeah, go ahead.
From the right of the president to some extent, is that he's not a very good listener. And McConnell has had that criticism, and many on the right have had that criticism. So the question is,
Obama.
Also, those on the right say, well, you're intractable, and the conservative leaders, intractable. So can they just listen to each other? That's a really good start.
Okay, so Michael says, winning the battle is not important. Winning the war is. In this case, it strikes me that it will be much easier for Hillary to run successfully after 2 years of a Republican Congress. So in a way, she was the winner on Tuesday. She's
all right. So let's pause there because we got to go. And then when we come back, I do want to talk about Hillary because we have an article about that as well.
Yeah,
and
talk
about
thing.
Where she yeah. So let's do that. And we'll take a break. Reminder, you can email us, roundtable at WAMC.org. Go to our webpage, WAMC.org/roundtable, if you want to post it for the whole world to see. We would love to have you join us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break. Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
But you missed.
Boy, that was a spirited news
break.
Spirited news break.
Yeah, you know.
I think Ray hit it on the nail on the head. Just we'll record this. Although I don't think it ever should be recorded.
No, but if it is, we are in deep, deep, deep trouble.
We're all out of jobs. Yeah. But if it we recorded it, then you make it a premium.
Yeah. A fund drive premium.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great idea.
For a $1 million pledge, you can kill our careers.
Outtakes.
We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. And do you want to get to those, Alan?
Yeah, we got bawled out by Bob C.
Yes, you did.
I participated in that too,
I believe.
It is beneath the panel and WAMC to comment on the perceived appearance of national political leaders and the choice of spouse.
I agree.
This is a serious time, and such characterization diminishes the program.
I did a whole column once about how George W. Bush was, you know, horrible politically, but he did look hot in jeans.
That's disgusting.
Wait, are we still in the break?
How did you get
to it? It was because we ran a picture of him in the newspaper I was working at, and a reader wrote in that it was horrible that we were so against him, we were running pictures of him that made him look cross-eyed. So I pointed out that the picture came from his website, and that indeed, while I disagreed with him horribly and profoundly politically, his looks were not the problem.
Did you get any response from that?
People liked it. You know, they took it with like a little bit of humor.
Humor,
hint, you know, hint. Sense of humor, hint, hint, hint.
Humor, you know, humor. Anyway, here we go from Carolyn. Would the next thing to consider about the election be to discuss how the electorate reacts to change in general? In other words, Barack Obama has been identified as an agent of change, and much of the public dialogue has been an unconsidered reaction and not to the specifics of these changes. Did I do something wrong?
No. What's the matter?
What are you looking for? I was looking for a pen.
Oh, here.
Here.
Have one of mine.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
I appreciate it. That's very nice of you.
Here, no, take mine. Okay.
Suddenly it's a bill signing ceremony.
Okay. And John says, leadership matters. America's are craving it, and the president's party is suffering, not because it does not have issues and beliefs that resound with the people, but because it has a leader with a muddled message and whose bully pulpit microphone is in need of a new battery. In the immortal words of E.T., the president desperately needs to phone home, turn on his heart light, and lead, not follow. The question remains whether the professor can get out of the president's way to achieve that objective.
Can I just comment?
Of course.
I'm amazed that so many people, perhaps on the East Coast and the West Coast, would say that the problem is that the president's message isn't getting out there. Is it not possible that a large portion of this country, perhaps the so-called flyover states being mainly this issue, but is it not that a lot of the country, the president is out of step with a lot of the country. Could that be part of the problem here?
No, I think, I've said it before, I will say it again. I think it is not that he's out of step with the most people in the country. I think he's out of step with the people who count, and I mean count in quotation marks, so that it is the middle class who determine elections. So we do know that there is some antipathy on the part of the middle class towards those who they consider to be below them. That's what this is all about. And it's not a popular message I'm giving out here, but it is the case. Why did they get everything? Why did their kids go to school and get our money? That is something that I find more insidious than anything else in terms of explaining what happens. It's those people in the middle who make the difference, not the few percent at the very top. And not the people who don't turn out to vote at the very bottom.
Okay, so taking that as written, then you're saying the president is fully in lockstep with middle America than the middle class.
Well, I think he tries, but I think when you do something like the Affordable Health Care Act, which potentially, but doesn't, puts 30 million people on the rolls, that is perceived as something for, quote, them down there. I think it's great. I think everybody deserves health care. But I don't know that the middle class does agree with that.
Also, that's interesting. I just want to add this. So this theory would explain why middle class people and the elderly who do rely on government programs might support people like Eric Cantor, who left Congress for a $3.5 million job, something like that. They identify with people who have moved up.
Well, Rosemary, he didn't leave Congress willingly for the $3.5 million.
Yeah, someone more conservative pushed him out.
He got kicked out.
Right.
And then, of course, he got taken care of, as we say in politics.
Also, isn't it important to point out that 2 years ago, the president was reelected
by a very comfortable margin.
51%, right?
No, it was higher. Wasn't it higher than
I thought
that?
It was higher.
I thought it was higher than that. I can check. But anyway. But meaning that he had, I mean, I don't know, lockstep. Are we ever in lockstep with anybody? But you know, 2 years ago, they took
the feel of the room,
and that's what happened.
Of course, no politician is ever in lockstep with any large portion of the population. My only comment was that we see this a lot, and we hear this a lot. The president has been ineffective in his message. That's one way to look at it, and we see that a lot on the left. Those on the right say his message is crystal clear, and it's not in step with a lot of the country.
You mean the 2% at the top?
Apparently not.
Well, the message wasn't clear, or more Democrats would have gotten out in support of that record. So he clearly did not get the message out that Democrats, if you want to see this continued, get out and vote in this election.
Yeah,
it didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, the dynamic of who votes is fascinating to
me.
I mean, for example, people who depend on public education for their children and for programs that will do all of that, they are often sort of with the people, the 2% at the top.
Exactly. How does that happen?
I've never quite got it. If everybody got out who had something to gain in this country, which is a lot of people, by some kind of equitable system where our kids were fairly educated and where pre-K was everywhere and where all of this stuff happened and health care was a right, there'd be no question you'd never have a Republican president. But it doesn't happen.
You're absolutely right, Ray. It was 51% to 47%, and
that's still 4 points. That's considered, a major.
Well, and the big gap was in electoral votes, 332 to 206. That was where.
Why don't we get rid of the Electoral College? I think that's another thing that's not in the interest of the American people, and yet it continues because it's in the party interest.
Exactly. It's in somebody's interest, which is why
it continues.
If you said to the American people, if it ever got to a constitutional amendment, it would pass. If the American people had the choice, it would pass.
Because, as would gun control?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these issues. We're not well represented.
And when you're talking democracy, as from the people, demos, I don't know that we have one.
How do you feel about a constitutional amendment that would give the vote to everyone?
Say again?
A constitutional amendment giving the vote to everyone.
What do you mean everyone?
Yeah.
Like the First Amendment. You have the absolute.
Babies? I mean, what are you talking about here?
Of age.
I guess I'm missing.
This is something being discussed right now.
That's three of us that are flummoxed.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I've flummoxed you. Oh, wow, that's great. I don't do that often.
To everyone.
There is, there's some discussion about
this. So who would
this
cover that it doesn't cover now, I guess is the question.
People who don't have ID cards.
Okay.
Certain people who have been in prison. It would simply say that all Americans have the right to vote the way that all Americans have the right to freedom of expression.
Well, let me put
it
this way. I'm all for it. It hasn't got a chicken's chance.
Depressing.
That is not where I thought you were going with that. Thank God.
What did you say?
Nothing. When you said chicken, I was like worried.
Chickens?
Yeah.
Yes.
That word has been going around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Political circles. Chicken blank. Like match game.
Well, you said chicken's chance. I didn't know where you were headed with that.
Oh, you thought I might say a dirty
word?
I
knew you wouldn't, but yeah. I was when I first.
Now
how
I'm
did
getting
you know?
Hungry.
Are you getting hungry?
Yeah, a chicken sandwich.
We're just
for
talking about I'm chickens. We don't have to eat the chicken.
I'm eating less chicken these days.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I'm the older I get, the more I like to have things like garbanzo beans.
Oh my God.
Panel, we have to switch it.
This is
because the chicken conversation is the conversation we ought to have during the break.
Yeah.
We forgot. We forgot we're on the air.
We flipped it.
Like garbanzo? Let's just call the whole thing off.
Yeah.
We got 12 minutes.
We'll go prepare some garbanzo beans, and we'll be back after the short break.
Support comes from Harvest Spirits Farm Distillery, Route 9, Vallation, New York. Core Vodka and Cornelius Applejack, available at the distillery, open weekends for tours, tastings, and sales. HarvestSpirits.com. And Topperson, natural medicine formula creams designed to heal muscles, joints, nerves, and skin conditions, including shingles and eczema. Topperson.com.
I just thought it was a new alarm system in the building. I didn't know.
What?
Oh, the sound we heard in the newsroom. I thought it was just their new alarm system. I had no idea. Anyway.
It was an executive proclamation, it turns out.
Who knew?
You guys are really cruel to this old man.
Well, all right, never mind. Apparently, we have ways of getting even. okay.
So the brakes are now spilling over on the air.
Oh, there you go.
The end is nigh.
Good morning and welcome to our panel. Let's get to other topics, talk about the other items in the news. We'll try to hit as many of these as we can. Alex Rodriguez is apparently has told federal agents of that he has taken steroids, that he was doping.
I'm shocked.
Me too.
Wow.
But what I don't understand, and maybe Ray, you can help me out on this,
on the timing
of this, but when he goes out and he testifies, then he goes on the radio show and he says, I didn't do this. And meanwhile, he had already testified that he did do it. I don't quite get that.
I don't know. But I mean, he's done his time. He did a year. He's never going to get in the Hall of Fame. His records are tainted. Just let him finish out his career, and we'll be done with him.
And make $60 million.
It's not my money. I don't go to Yankee games. What do I care?
He's worth it.
That really.
He's worth watching. He is a good ball player.
That really.
Yeah, not in October.
What do you mean?
I don't go to Yankee games, so I don't care.
No,
we're talking
I don't
about
care.
A matter of policy here.
I couldn't care. He did his time.
Well, the children.
Everyone knows he did it.
Yeah.
So let's just move on.
By the way, that is true. Everybody does know
he'll not get in the Hall of Fame. His records won't count. It doesn't matter.
It's like Pete Rose, you know, you gamble. He paid a huge price.
He should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with Ray.
Yeah.
But why him and not Rodriguez?
Because steroids helps you.
Performance
enhancing. Yeah. I mean, it changed your performance.
Where gambling has the potential. The potential to make
voted,
a difference.
Who you bet on to
right,
win.
Ray? In other
well,
words,
it has the potential
if you're betting
to...
on your own team, and the theory is, like the great Chicago White Sox scandal, that you're going to drop it on purpose to make gambling money.
Right. Or shave points or not bring a reliever in who might save a game.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
I feel like a panel of imams. Which sin is worse? Cheating or gambling or drinking?
Well, So, but I'm interested in the
gambling and drinking are fine. We'll just move on.
I'm interested in the whole thing of you have we talked a lot about this during the Ray Rice situation. We look at these celebrities, these athletic celebrities. We have them as role models. And then we say, okay, well, you do this crime, and we're going to throw you out of the game. You do this crime, and we're going to give you the millions of dollars and have you go back to the – I mean, shouldn't the team say, okay, well, you've admitted to this. We don't want you to be a part.
Well, that's an interesting point. Now, the Yankees owe him a lot of money, I think, for this year and next year, I believe, and maybe a year after that.
$60 million.
So here's the thing. Can they now
have rules of the game? You're not. You didn't go by the rules of the game. You're out.
Rules, schmools. He's done a year. This is a contractual thing now with the Yankees and their many lawyers. So I'm sure they're asking exactly this question: is there a way now that we can, in view of all the things that he said and denials he made, even so much as suing the team physician on the Yankees? Is it now possible for the Yankee lawyers to say, well, we got it out now. We'll get out of this contract.
So the Yankee, just help me out here. I just need to know something, Ray, because you're the sports expert in the room. You and Joe, I think. The question I have for you is, did the Yankees get to the World Series this year?
No, they did not.
What's the point? He didn't play.
That's exactly the point. He didn't play. They want to win the World Series. He's a fantastic player.
Yeah, but he's had a lot of years that he played, and they didn't get made to the World Series.
But he's very, very good.
Well,
he's good in June and July.
This is a very good point. His numbers. Now, he has not played a lot. He was injured the year before and saw limited duty. And I'm sure you had no idea that you were correct, but you were right. His numbers.
Talk about a backhanded smash.
His slugging numbers and his numbers were better than almost everybody on the Yankees last year. So you do make a point. He may be a positive. Now, if he's not on the juice, we'll see what he's got left at 39. May not be much.
Yeah, that's the other issue, too. And you've been out of it for a while. So.
Yeah.
We don't know whether he's been,
We don't even know if he's off the juice.
Well, all right, you make a point.
Let us go to a newly published U.S. Army regulation saying that a service member can be referred to as a Negro when describing black or African-American personnel. The Army confirmed the language is contained in the October 22nd Army Command Policy known as Regulation AR-600-20. The regulation is periodically updated, but the Army could not say how recently the word was added to the document.
It's got to be a mistake. I'm uncomfortable even hearing you read this.
Well, wait a second. This is a matter of public policy. If the Army is wrong in doing it, which I think they are, what could they be thinking?
When one guy said that it was inadvertently taken from an outdated
manual. I'm sure that's true.
And that's what
cut
I say. Cut and paste. Has to be a mistake. This is indefensible.
The Army spokesman says it was outdated, currently under review, and will be updated shortly.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you call people what they want to be called. That's just respect. This goes into the same argument as the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, somebody wrote in yesterday and said that the Washington Club was taking the word Washington out of there.
Because they're embarrassed by Washington.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a funny letter.
That's a good letter.
Yeah. So anyway, Eve wrote in and said, we may not like it, but Jewish Talmudic scholars, Catholic canon lawyers, and many others ponder what is worse. Not just imams, and that's from Eve.
Oh, take that, Rosemary.
Yeah, okay, that's a point, though. Okay, good. That's a point.
I have to be religiously inclusive in my smarty pants comments. I'll remember that.
and Gary says President Obama disappointed his base support while using the excuse that the GOP wouldn't let him do anything. However, he did such things as promoting fracking, refusing to label GMOs, spying on U.S. citizens, and escalating wars on his own. He threw his base under the bus. That's what that one says. Okay, and. Yesterday the discussion was whether there will be a new productive relationship between the Republicans and the Democrats. I believe that the Republicans will follow the same obstinate, mudslinging modus operandi that has worked so well for them as they press to gain the presidency, the third branch of government, in 2 years. Even if Mitch McConnell wants to cooperate, the potential candidates in his party will not allow it, and that's from Jerry. All right.
It hasn't worked well for them, so maybe there is an impetus to try something different.
And Scott says, sour grapes make poor wine.
All right.
That's what he says. And James says, I agree with Alan. This is one I really wanted to have read.
I think he makes them up, do you?
I agree with Alan.
I have it here. I have a copy. Oh, yeah.
About the middle class and how the very top wealthy and powerful pay for and spit lies to make the middle class dislike the poor and helping the majority.
All right. Final topic for this morning. To the shock of many cancer experts, the most common cancer in South Korea is not lung or breast or colon or prostate. It is now thyroid cancer, whose incidence has increased 15-fold in the past two decades. A tsunami of thyroid cancer, as one researcher put it. Similar upward trends for thyroid cancer are found in the United States and Europe, although not to the same degree. Cancer experts agree that the reason for the situation in South Korea and elsewhere is not a real increase in the disease. Instead, it is down to screening, which is finding tiny and harmless tumors that are better left undisturbed, but that are being treated aggressively. To me, I read this article and I thought to myself, this is a lot like this new term that is eking into dentistry, which is called the pre-cavity.
Yeah.
Which is
a license to make money for dentists.
Absolutely. and now, obviously, having a cavity is much different than cancer. But the question of an aggressive treatment versus a more moderate treatment is really interesting.
Well, the other question is, what's the trigger? If we have this increase in thyroid cancer, and it's worse in one country than another, then obviously there's a trigger that is making this happen.
No, I think they only studied it in South Korea. It's actually trend is everywhere. And I hid this article from my mother, who believes she's lived to 89 by never going to doctors, and therefore nothing's wrong with you. They
don't
find
it.
And that's what this is. If you go and you treat, people get here that they have cancer of the thyroid. They want to be rid of the cancer, so they have all this treatment and all these operations that you don't really just leave it alone. Just
well, that's
let
absolutely
it go.
True. Prostate, for example, which is, I think, the number one male killer, cancer killer.
I'm not a doctor.
I think that's true.
It's
right up there. But the point really is that now they're saying, okay, if you have it, you could probably outlive it. Not me. I want it out of there if it happens.
Yeah.
Yes, prostate cancer. The three most common cancers among men are prostate, lung, and colorectal. All right, let's go to the, do we have time? Yeah, I think we do. Our final topic for the morning is, let me see if I can bring it up here.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, well, I went to the Google button.
You are
fast. You thought we were going to talk more about cancer, didn't you?
No, well, then I unfortunately got out of it to look up the other thing.
It's terrible when we agree. We just it just cuts the time in half.
Yeah. So what do you make of the GOP making inroads with Latinos and the work for toward 2016 as written about in the New York Times?
Well, they're brilliant. They're just changing the rhetoric. That's all. I made reference
like
to
the Pope. He hasn't really changed any policy. He's just talking nicer.
Oh, well, see, you and I could spend a whole long time on that. I love this Pope. I think he's great. And I think just by changing the language, he has basically changed the course
of
the
church. Yeah, I think talking nicer is a good start.
Talking nice is what the Republicans are doing right now to win over voters.
Well, no, I see you're doubting the motives of the Pope. I don't. I think he really...
Based on what?
Well, based on what you just said.
Based on what do you not doubt him? Sign has he given of really
reaching
out?
Well, he's given the sign,
to...
and the conservatives in the church are on the run, and it looks to me like there's going to be big change. I have great hope for him.
All right. We have to end the conversation.
Jewish guy on the
you're
going to
convert?
Oh,
what's up?
Sorry.
Can I go?
There's always tomorrow. Ray, you're excused.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll
you
see
talk
you
about
all
Hillary
tomorrow.
Either.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Hillary
Billy. All of that. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.